Okay, very good. So we're going to begin in 2005 when I was with Pastor Bailey in Nicaragua, and he had a vision of many lights throughout Costa Rica. Now, we were still, as a family, in Guatemala, and the Lord began to speak to us about moving to Costa Rica. And this vision that he had was of many lights. And when I asked him, I said, how many lights were there? And he said, oh, he said, there was too many to count. And so you see all these lights all over the place. And it's going to take a little bit of time. I forgot how many there were in here. And these lights basically were places that the Lord was going to raise up, Bible schools or centers of light and truth related to Zion material. And so this was something that was always set before us, having this vision before us when we went to Costa Rica. Then, I think we're about done, then in 2009, I'm sorry, Pastor Bailey had this same vision again. So it was a repeat. And we were up here at that time, and he grabbed a hold of my arm, and he had a firm grip, and he said, don't, oh, he said, I had the vision again, I saw the lights, and he said, don't forget the vision. And I looked at him and I said, don't worry, Pastor Bailey, I won't. That's always before me. Then in June 11th, 2012, at 10:30 a.m., that would have been 12:30 p.m. here in New York. That's the day that Pastor Bailey went to be with the Lord. There was a lady in our church, her name is Judy, and she had a vision that morning. Now, she had not known that anything that had happened about Pastor Bailey passing on. It wasn't until prayer that service that night that I shared about that, him passing on. And she had this vision, and she saw Pastor Bailey entering heaven and his wife, Audrey, waiting for him. And then she heard these words, his race has finished. His race has finished. She then has a vision of his mantle all over the earth. So she said, I saw his spiritual mantle, and it covered the earth. And then she saw, as he was going into heaven, she saw that mantle break up into many, many pieces. And then she sees these small pieces of his mantle falling on people all over the globe. And then again, she heard words that were spoken, and she heard these words, the work is of God, the vision is of God. And then she sees that these mantles are reproduced, and the work becomes very fruitful. So I would like to ask for a moment, have us think about that spiritual mantle and anointing, and this is how I would define it. Like if someone would ask me, what was the anointing, the mantle that Pastor Bailey had? I would say, it's the message of being born in spiritual Zion. It's the dwelling place of the Lamb and to win or gain Christ. It's the message about kings and priests. It's the message of hitting the mark of God for our lives. It's the message of establishing Bible schools in every nation that teaches and imparts the vision of Zion. It's the message of being part of something eternal that is so much bigger than ourselves, and we each have a part in fulfilling this vision and calling. And that's how I would, in my own words, define that. Now, Isaiah 54, verse 3a says, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed. Now, in context of in scripture, you know, the Father's talking about the seed of the Lord breaking forth. But in what our context, I'm applying it to us as the spiritual seed of Pastor Bailey and Sister Audrey, his wife, shall inherit. It's the spiritual seed that's going to inherit. And that's you and I. That's you and I. He went on. His wife went on. But there was a spiritual legacy that was given to us, like a baton was handed over to us. And that legacy is now in your hands, in my hands, to carry on. In Deuteronomy 1:21, it says, "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess or inherit it, as the Lord God of thy spiritual," and I put in spiritual fathers, "has said unto thee." This is like a personal word in relationship to the lights that were seen for Costa Rica, and Pastor Bailey saying, "Don't forget the vision." And so this is like a personal word to us as a family, and also applies to you as well, that we are not to fear because something has been given to us to accomplish. And in this process, we are not to be discouraged. The Lord is telling us to go and inherit. A mandate has been given to us. Something has been placed into our hands that we need to honor, to value, and to treasure. Now, after 16 years, from April 2006 to June 23, we were in Chiroles. Some of you have been there. You know what it's like. It's in the southeastern part of Costa Rica by the Panama border on the Caribbean side. And there's a verse that has a lot of meaning to me and to us. To everything, there is a season. Now, here in the States, you have four seasons. We only have in Costa Rica and Central America two seasons, rainy season and dry season. But there are seasons begin and seasons end. There are changes in seasons. One ends to bring in another, and then that goes on for a time, and then that ends to bring into another. And then there's a time. There's a certain time that God has established to every purpose under the heaven. Ecclesiastes 3:1. So in the Lord's time, he repositioned our family into a new season, a new beginning that begins a new purpose, so that we could fulfill our part of what God has for Zion Fellowship to do worldwide. And so I'm going to show you some pictures of that moment when we begin to make our transition. So here's our family, Camry, myself, my wife, and Dina. Dina's a spiritual daughter. She's been with us almost since the get-go in the bush. And she has been faithfully by our side. And we moved to the city. When I say we, Dina also moved to the city and began to work in at another ministry as a volunteer. This was the day that, I don't even think my family has seen this picture, but this is the worst day of my life. This was actually the most difficult day when I had to make the move and transition. My family was already in the city, and but God provided a lot of help that day. But it was a very dark day for me for many reasons and for our family. We transitioned into the city. This is a view. It's one of my favorite spots where I go walking every morning. And you get to see part of the city. There's about 2.5 million people here. This is only like half of the city. This is San Jose. Oh, I'm sorry. Apologize. Thank you. So this was the worst day of my life. Here, what I'm doing is I'm looking here and I'm forgetting to coordinate there. So this is the day that we moved. This is our family. That's Dina and Cameron and I. This is the truck that took us out that day, our supplies and everything. That was a very difficult day. This is the city, where we are at now. And this is over high up in the mountain, looking over the city. It's actually half of the city. This is where God placed us. We're nestled up high up in the mountain. It's a beautiful place that we so much enjoy. It's just like, to me, it's my Mount Zion. When I think about Mount Zion, I think about the mountains that are around us, and I think, oh God, if it's so beautiful here, Mount Zion's going to be so wonderful as well. This is a view from our house, looking into the city. This is some of the evening sunsets that we get, and it's just very beautiful. We love the town where we live, and this Costa Rican cart is very typical. It's a traditional cart. A lot of times they have this for tourists, for people to take rides in. And this morning, Denise was talking about the yoke, and there's the yoke with the two cows. We also have a wonderful fresh market, not very far from where we live. We were invited, one of the first churches that we were invited to speak was on Independence Day, and this is just a typical outfit that ladies wear there. It's a typical Costa Rican outfit. And Kathy thought it was so beautiful and nice and took pictures with her, with these ladies. One of the blessings that God has given to us is to find a place where we can attend. And we attend a small church called Misión Cristiana Manantial, which is Christian Spring as a water source, Christian Spring Missions. And this is where we attend church and are given opportunities to minister. And this couple in the church is affiliated with Zion Fellowship. And in the next slide, you'll see a licensing ceremony that was that we had for Pastor Tomas Diaz and his wife Lily. So this is Pastor Tomas Diaz and his wife Lily. And they're from Mexico, and they're just a wonderful couple. They have two children. Oh, there we go. And they have been such a support and a blessing for us during this time. I don't think we could have done it without them. They have been with us from the very beginning. They've just opened up their home to us and been such a blessing. And when we go there, we just feel right at home. They love Zion, the vision of Zion, the songs of Zion. So it's been a real blessing for us to be there. And so they give us opportunities to minister, to speak. Camry also helps out with the worship. A good while ago, maybe 9 years ago, 8 years ago, my wife met this lady, and she's like a physical therapist, massagist. And so Kathy would go to her, and they developed a relationship. Well, when we moved to the city, my wife began to encourage me, why don't you go and open up and have a, you know, visit them and have a share the word of God with them. And they're Catholics. And they already had a relationship with us. And so I said, okay. And almost every Thursday, if we can make it, I show up at their home. And it's Freddie, Elizabeth, and Leon is like a adopted son of theirs. And he's there all the time. And we get into the Word of God. And it's so rich. It's been so fulfilling. They now call me their pastor. And they said before, when they knew that I was leaving, they said, I don't know what we're going to do. I was reading, because I gave them some books on from Pastor Bailey, and I was reading that, you know, the sheep need their shepherd, and you're going to be 6 weeks without us. You know, what are we going to do? And so I said, well, we'll try to be in touch. And it has been such a joy to see how the Word of God has changed them over a year's time. One of the other things that God opened up and I've done a couple times, was go and cook at a church that feeds the homeless in the streets. And I just love doing that and just coming in and helping the staff there, the pastor's wife and him and some of the people there to cook. And people come off the street and you are given an opportunity to share the gospel with them and pray with them. We also were invited to a Mother's Day celebration. Mother's Day in Costa Rica is a huge event. And so we were invited to speak and be a part of that. And then this at the same church, I was invited. This was my, I'm going to say, was my first meeting since coming back, coming to the city. There are about eight pastors that are there. And so there's a denomination called the Church of Pentecostal Church of God International Movement. They have about 120 churches in Costa Rica. And they meet in they have sectors, like the country's broken up into different districts and sections. And so they meet from time to time, like maybe 8 to 10, 12 churches at one place. So they invited me to come and speak. And that was a real joy to be able to step into that again. Then I was invited to go north about 4 hours from this capital, almost to the Nicaraguan border. And about 20 churches got together, 20 pastors got together. And they asked me to speak in the afternoon, their afternoon seminar. And I took the book, Tabernacle of Moses, and also the Holy Spirit. And I shared about moving in to the holy place, from the outer court into the holy place. And their theme for the year is moved by the Holy Spirit. So I just took that and I brought out the perspective of the Tabernacle of Moses as long also with the aspects of the Holy Spirit and where the Holy Spirit wants to take us spiritually. And the gentleman that you see in the front, he's the president, and he got up to speak afterwards and he said, this has really made a big impact in our group here. And then in April of this year, I had a meeting with the board of this denomination, and they are already agreed to it, and we're going to have a seminar next June, and they're going to invite they're going to get all the churches and all the pastors together at a large area. And Pastor Rob Tucker Jr. is going to come, and he's going to teach one day on marriage and the family, and that's the marriage and family cover. And then the second day, he's going to teach on the pastor. So there's going to be a two-day conference, and so I'm really looking forward to it because that's going to be a really huge event. It's going to be nice to have Rob and Val with us. And so this is something that's already scheduled for June of next year. And that this board, national board, also gave me the permission and the freedom to openly promote the online Bible school with their churches. One of the things that the Lord has opened up for us is a pastoral and Christian ministries fellowship group. This was just a miracle in itself how this took place. This was my second meeting, and I had met, I felt from the Lord just to go visit some churches and hand off brochures, and a pastor invited me to come to this meeting, and they just embraced me as one of their own. So it's a group of about 35, 40 pastors that meet together. Not all of them meet at the same time, but we meet every Tuesday. And one of the pastors or missionaries that I met, this guy's name is, missionary's name is Randy. I took a picture of him because I was sitting down at breakfast and the Holy Spirit said, go talk to that man and ask him what he's doing. And so he came to me and said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm with Zion Fellowship, and Pastor Brian Bailey was the founder. And he just said, I'm in revival. 40 years ago, he was trained in World Map with Ralph Mahoney and Pastor Bailey when he was the vice president. And so he is really, I gave him books and I gave him audios and so forth. So he's really excited to be connected again, and we're praying that the Lord will open up some doors through him. I was also invited to speak at the pastor's gathering, the 1st of August, on eschatology. And so they asked me to teach on eschatology for an hour and 20 minutes. So I did that. And this is where we were meeting. So after 16 years and 4 months, we're at the beginning of the fulfillment of many lights throughout Costa Rica. And this is the first church that we went to that wants to have an actual Bible school there in their church. This is the four of us that were there, Kathy and Dina and Camry. Camry and Dina shared their experience about Bible school, what God did through them and with them with the Bible studies courses. This is the pastor, his name is Vidal, and he's very excited. After I gave a presentation and we shared in depth about, I gave them a vision for their church, about what they can accomplish and what God can do through them with the material that Zion has, he got up and he said to his church, "This is going to change us. This is going to change us." And he was very excited about that. So there is now one light that is going to be started, and that's in San Jose. And now there is another church, and he's a 3-year Bible school student. He studied with us for 3 years in Chirolas, and he just got moved to a larger church, and he also wants to have a Bible school there in his church building. He has a very nice large church building. So this is going to be the second, and that second light is going to be a little bit to the north west from San Jose. So as you can see, what was prophesied, what the Lord showed, we're actually starting to come into. And recently our pastoral group had a fun day, and Camry and I were asked to lead worship that day. It was a really nice day together. And one thing that I'm very happy to have accomplished is, just like you have a medical board and a lawyer's board here, they have established with the government a collegiate or a pastoral board. And there's a process to go through that. You have to have theological studies. And I submitted the application and filled out the requirements, and I got accepted. This now accredits me as a pastor. Although I have a Zion Fellowship credential card, that doesn't mean anything in Costa Rica, but this does. This says I'm a pastor, and it gives me the authority to go minister in hospitals and prisons, and I had to take a course on how to minister in the prisons and the hospitals there. So this also will open up doors. When a pastor says, "Oh, you're with the Alliance," that's like it has weight. It's not like you're just some independent flyby, but you actually belong to something that is nationwide. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what God has done for our family. And what God has done for our family can be described by these verses. In Psalms 118, 23, it says, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." In verse 24, "This is the day, a new time, a new season and purpose, which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And that is a key. Whenever you come into a new season, a time of transition, and it doesn't seem to be playing out like you expected it to be, it is so important that you have a rejoicing heart and attitude. That is so key to get through the new seasons. Did you know that Psalms 113 to 118 was sung as part of the Passover ritual, and it would have been sung by Jesus in Matthew 29:30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. I want you to think about that. The verses that I just read, Psalms 113 all the way through Psalms 118, was sung before and during the Passover. And when it says that Jesus and his disciples sung a hymn, Jesus would have sung Psalms 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 24, this is the day. What day? What was this day for Jesus? What was this day that he was to rejoice in and be glad in it? It was a day of betrayal. It was a day of suffering, of pain, of anguish. It was a day of becoming the sin offering. It was a day of death and burial. But it was also a day of resurrection power. We sing that song, this is the day that the Lord hath made. But when you put it into its context, there's Jesus with his disciples. And he's talking, he's singing about this day that the Lord has made, this day of betrayal that he knew he was facing, this day of suffering and pain and anguish, this day of becoming the sin offering, this day of death and burial. And this also becomes a day of resurrection power. Psalms 118:23 says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Now, it's marvelous in our eyes because we know the context of what we came out of. And we saw what God did in 21 days that only God could do. And in the midst of our anguish and our difficulty, in the midst of closing one season and transitioning into a new season in order to fulfill a greater purpose, it was still difficult, but it was marvelous to see the hand of God in the midst of it. And if you and I can learn to see in the midst of that day and see God's hand. I loved the message, that Sunday school message that Denise had. That to me is like the flip side. That message should have been embedded in this message because it just enhanced it. I was like, this is so good. It's like the other side of the coin of this message. It just goes so well with it. And so in the midst of all this, it doesn't seem very marvelous, does it? In that day that you experience as difficult, how can you say it's marvelous? And Jesus yet was singing, was quoting this scripture. Think about that. And what did the Father do that was so marvelous for Jesus? He turned the table for Jesus. Now, why did I include this? Because in one of the most difficult moments that we were going through, I felt to get my family together, and I said, I feel we're just going to pray in tongues. Let's just pray in tongues. And we begin to pray in tongues together. And as we begin to pray, several minutes into praying in tongues out loud together, suddenly I heard these words, turn the table on them, Lord. I heard it very clearly. Turn the table on them, Lord. And so I stopped and I said, we're going to pray now. I heard these words, turn the table on them, Lord. That was the interpretation I got of what we were praying. And so we began to pray that way, turn the table on them, Lord. Now, he turned the table for Jesus. The phrase turn the tables means to reverse a situation. so that the person who was previously at a disadvantage is now at an advantage. Little did I know what that meant when we begin to pray according to the Father's will, turn the tables, Lord. Turn the situation. Our disadvantage, take it away and give us an advantage. In Psalms 118:21, it says, I will praise thee, for you have heard me, and I put in brackets, in my distress, and you have become my salvation. You know that verse, that song that we sing? You have made me glad. You have made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. That is so real. The anguish, the difficulties, everything, he has made us glad. He has done that for us as a family. He has put joy in our hearts. We were driving, my wife and I, one day through town, and we were just so happy. We had such joy. Do we remember things? Yes. But there's a joy because God has turned the tables. In Psalms 118:22, it says, the stone which the builders refused, the word refuse means to abhor, to despise, to disdain, to reject. That's how Jesus felt. He was at his lowest moment at Gethsemane. And then he has to go to the cross. And in the natural, it looks like all is lost. Yet God turned the table. And that which was abhorred, that which was despised, that which was disdained, that which was rejected, that stone becomes the headstone of the corner, the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ became the chief cornerstone. That's the first stone that was laid in the foundation of the church, from which the church gets all its measurements, its level. It's actually, I looked it up, and it's actually the seed of the building. That which was spurned and rejected, and Israel said, no. God takes, turns it around 3 days later. It makes him the head of the church. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Isaiah 28:16 says, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. What's it take to be a part of that? What's it take to have that sure foundation in your life and my life? I think sometimes the answers to that we don't want to hear. Because it often means the removing away of everything, the stripping away of everything, to see what you're really left with. I so appreciated the worship this morning. It was wonderful. To me, it just flows so much with what we were going through as a family. And what I'm trying to share with you all, God looks at you and I as someone precious. And as we've heard in Sunday school and as we've heard in the message of worship, becoming that precious stone, there's a price to pay. It really is. But I want to tell you something, it's worth it. Because he hath made me glad. I will rejoice. Is it easy? No, we heard it in Sunday school class. It's not easy. Was it easy for the Lord? No, it wasn't easy for him. And yet there was a responsibility that was on his, weighed on him. And I think one of the things that held him was knowing that literally the fate of the universe rested upon him. And he said, how can I call for 12 legions of angels? I mean, I could do that, but then how would the scriptures be fulfilled? Can you sense the weight of that? And I think when you and I sense the weight of what God has given to us, and we feel it, we can't lightly cast it off. People might say, oh, that's wonderful, Curtis, that you're entering into now what God has fulfilled. Or setting, you know, Saul, how many years ago? You know what I feel? I feel the weight of having to fulfill that. I feel the weight of that. I can't just cast that off, because I know something has been given. I need to be accountable to it. And I think one of the things that we need more in this day is that sense of personal responsibility, not only socially, but in the spiritual, that which has been given to us, to value and to hold that which has been given to us. You know, the priest felt the stones that were on his chest. The breastplate of the stones was on his chest. He felt the weight. So yes, it's wonderful that there's a new season and we're entering into that. But there's a weight of responsibility. And God turned the tables for Jesus. Now where is he at? He's at the right hand of the Father. His circumstances were changed and it was converted into something marvelous. But look at the weight of responsibility. All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. That's what Jesus said. So God turned the table for us and turned our circumstances into something marvelous only he could do. And he can do that for you as well in your day. And turn your day into something marvelous for his glory. In what often seems in the natural to be a tragedy, a failure, a loss, or an unfulfilled purpose or vision, when that is put into the hands of the Almighty God, it becomes something marvelous that he does for his glory. Because nothing is impossible for him. Nothing is too difficult for him in your life or circumstance. See, I will praise you, for you heard me in my distress, and you become my salvation. But now I ask you a question. Would you like to ask God to turn your tables for you? Would you like to say, Lord, turn the table? We're praying for revival. What if one day God turns the table for Zion Fellowship in one day? And all of a sudden, the weight of what God has for us as a fellowship is suddenly a reality. I heard someone say something that I liked, that the wilderness experience, which we all know about, was simply preparing them to enter into their inheritance. And God uses these wilderness experiences. And I think God has been using these last, 12, 15 years to prepare us. Because if God can turn the table for us, he can do it for you and he can do it for us. But then I believe that's where the work really begins. And it's the remnant. It's the remnant that has to pick up the plow. It's the remnant that picks up the harness and goes on to fulfill it. And so I'd like to pray. I felt to do this. And just pray and ask the Lord to turn the tables for you. I feel that if God turned the tables for us and put us into a new season, I feel there's something that we have that we can impart and pray that God do the same thing for your life and for us as a fellowship. Would that be okay, Pastor Wallace? Okay. So just where you're at, you can stay where you're at. Let's just come before the Lord. And I tried to share with our journey a little bit of what we're experiencing, and give you an idea, a little bit of a perspective into our life. But really the heart of this message is that God cares about you as he cared about us. And there is hope for us. There's hope for us as a fellowship. There's hope for you in your life, in your family, in your situation. He turned the table for us. And he brought us into a new season. He has made us glad. We'll praise him because he is our salvation. And I believe God is offering that for us today as well. So let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you so very much for this day that you have made. I thank you, God, for the message this morning in Sunday school. I thank you, Father God, for the time of worship. I thank you, Lord, for Zion Fellowship. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here. I thank you for the vision. We thank you, Father, for what you have given to us, Lord, what you have imparted to us, the legacy you have given to us, Father God. But Lord, there are so many circumstances and situations where we need you to turn the table for us, Lord, to take us out of a disadvantage into a place of advantage. Lord, we have gone through so much in preparation, so much in wilderness, and so much in difficulties, and we have stayed the course. And so, Lord, we ask that you would turn the table, Lord, just as you did, Father God, for Jesus. He was resurrected. Life came out of death. And the stone which was rejected became the chief cornerstone. And Lord, you said the work is of God. The vision is of God. His race was finished. But it continues on down here with us. And you gave those words that it would be very fruitful. The work would be very fruitful. That means, Father God, there is something great that is coming. And so we're asking that you turn the tables for us as a fellowship, that you would turn the tables for us as a church and in our churches, and you would turn the table for us in our family situations, in our individual lives, Lord God. You know the circumstances, Lord. You know what we're going through. And Lord, we look to you to be our salvation because only you can deliver us. Only you can deliver us. And we will praise you for that. And we recognize that is your place. You are the chief cornerstone. You are the head of us. And so, Lord, I've tried to impart this morning something that you put in my heart for us today to encourage us, to give us hope, that you would break forth, Lord God, that you would do for us as you did for Jesus. And you set him up on high. Thank you, Lord, because the best is yet to come. And we believe that in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you.